Secondly, the foolishness of the distracted life is what we need to look at. And especially, see on the slide, we want to see how the book of Proverbs describes the distracted life as, see that word, Proverbs 28:19. And what's the word there? Can you read it? Right. Frivolity. Let's go there. Proverbs 28. And this is how God describes a distracted person. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity. If you look in different versions, it says follows empty dreams, follows empty people, follows foolish things. Frivolity, emptiness, distraction. What the Lord says is that we need to be very careful about frivolity. Could I define it for you? We can define it even with words not in the Bible. Let me read this to you. Self-absorption, which is following frivolity, is particularly common among young males. And it may be the greatest danger of our current world that we're living in, that is immersed in digital amusement. The distracted life is most fed by the electronic world we're living in. Continue. Not only does withdrawal into an electronica enable a young man to bypass the confusion and pain of trying to give their emotions coherence, it helps young men and women avoid the realities of life. All of us are flawed. All of us are vulnerable. All of us are ordinary human beings. Wow. I read a psychiatrist who was commenting on the change, the rewiring of adolescent, teenage, young adult brains. This is what this unbeliever said, and it's true. Even though they don't know Christ, they're observing reality in these people's lives. He said there is a stratospheric increase in diagnosed learning and attention deficits, which totally correlates to the advent of the electronic playground. Now, when I was little, we went to the playground. It had swings, slides, monkey bars, and we were outside in sandboxes, and we were so busy, merry-go-rounds, and we were just relating to one another and, you know, taking turns and getting bumped and scraped and falling and all the stuff on the playground. But today we have the advent of the electronic playground. I was sitting, Bonnie and I were traveling home from the last six-week round of teaching that we were involved in, and I was sitting in my chair, Bonnie was right here by the window, and I was looking, I know you're probably not supposed to do this, but I was looking through the little slip between the chairs at the person on the window in front of me, because they had the largest handheld little device I'd ever seen for playing games. And it had the most intense big finger and hand holders. And I was just amazed because they were so fast. What they were doing is they were creating their avatars. And they would pick from this whole side of all these different looking people, and they'd pick one, and then they'd pick the color of their hair, and then they'd pick, you know, whether they were muscular, or, and then they got their weaponry. I mean, it was the most amazing big screen experience. But you know what? They were totally immersed with their earbuds and their fingers going into this world they completely designed themselves. Now, what didn't they have to do? They didn't have to think about the realities of being a flawed, vulnerable, ordinary human being. Their avatars, their little game people, were perfect. And they were equipped exactly as they wanted them, and they responded exactly as they made them react. Do you know what that does? This is what the psychiatrist said. When so many Americans meet the diagnostic criteria for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, it's arguably no longer a disorder. It's the way we've become. Why? He concludes, this psychiatrist, this doctor of the organ called our mind or the brain, said, yes, we, not just boys, but adults of both sexes too, seem to have an insatiable hunger for handheld devices that deliver limitless, what does article say? Distractions. Back to the slide. What's the foolishness of the distracted life? Well, this is what it is. It's teaching us to float through life. Now, on the slide, I'm asking you a question. Are you floating through life, or are you paddling against the current? Okay, do you see the reference at the bottom? Chapter 3, and look at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, and that's Paul saying, on the basis of the fact you were raised with Christ, because when we got saved, when we went from being lost to saved, we identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Our sins were buried with him, and we were raised in newness of life. So since all that happened, that's the first part of verse 1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. The Christian life is a daily choice of whether I'm going to turn my focus, attention, and desires upward toward the Lord, and look how it describes him, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So I have a constant choice every day. Every day, I decide, today am I going to focus where Christ is seated at the right hand of God and live my life knowing he's watching me or not? Am I going to be distracted? Am I going to be acting foolishly? Or am I going to focus on the Lord? That's the first one. Am I going to seek him? By the way, that's an imperative. If you know anything about the Greek language, that is a command from God. Many things the Lord just presents and just says this is true. Other things the Lord presents in the form of the Greek languages, it's a command. It's non-optional. We must respond, yes or no, right now. And no means disobedience, and yes means obedience. But look at verse 2. Another command, another imperative. The first one was seek. So seek above. The second one, verse 2, set. Set your affection or mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So look up and focus and desire those things. As a believer, if we're not actively engaged in battling distraction in life, we will slowly become amused, carried along, floating with the current of the world. And by the way, which direction is the current of the world going? It's going away from God. I was born floating away from God. I was born into the river of life. My parents, even though they were believers when I was born a lost pagan, selfish, proud, self-centered, murderous, if I could have. I used to get so angry and hit people with my rattle in the playpen. You know, that's how we're born, floating away from God. Listen, if we are not actively engaged in battling the distracted life, if we aren't saying, by your grace, I want to set my affection on things above, Colossians 1. I want to seek those things which are above, Colossians 3, 2. If I don't do that, I will become amused. What is amused? Very interesting. In English, the word amuse actually is got two parts, and muse. You all know what muse is. Muse means to think deeply, to meditate on something. In fact, a person who thinks deeply in Old English is called a muse. That was a type of person. They just thought about stuff a lot. This is what's called the alpha privative in philology and when we study languages. Ah means not. So not thinking deeply. That's what amusement is. When I don't want to think deeply about anything, I go to the amusement park, or I go to my game, or whatever. I get amused. So if I'm not actively seeking not be distracted, Colossians 3, 1 and 2, I will slowly become amused, not think deeply about anything. I'll get carried along. I'll get floating with the current of the world and start going away from God. Do you ever feel God is far away? Be honest. Have you ever felt God is distant? You know why that is? It's It's because we're acting like an unsaved person. We've gone back to the broad way with our thoughts, our foolishness. We're living for now. Pride sets in. We start disobeying God. All of those things add up to acting like a lost person. This doesn't mean a believer immediately goes against God. It's a slow process of the Lord having less and less influence over our priorities in life. But Colossians 3 says, if you were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting in the right hand of God, and set your mind on that. How do I set my mind on the scriptures? I spend time every day listening to God. This book will either keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from this book. It's a daily choice. For just a second, I mentioned this a couple classes ago, but it's a perfect time to say it again. When I was a little boy going to Lake Lansing Baptist Church, every summer we went to the Red Cedar River. Our whole church went, and we parked in this parking lot. All of us got on these old school buses, and the buses wove along and bounced along and drove us to some riverbank spot. And behind these buses were these big trailers of canoes. And this is before they had life preservers and all that. We just all piled into those canoes as a church and got our paddle. And for the next many hours of the afternoon, we spent so much time canoeing down the Red Cedar River. Now, what's interesting is, I don't ever remember using the paddle. In fact, well, for paddling, I mean, I would be splashing people with my paddle. I was out of my canoe as much as I was in the canoe. But what is strange is that imperceptible to everybody was the fact that the canoes were always moving. You see, what the canoe company did is they hauled us upstream, dumped us off on the riverbank, and all 100 of us in our church canoe trip had our little canoe, and we kind of were connected to it all day long, following it. It was a very shallow river, but it had a current. And if we didn't hold that canoe or get into it and paddle that canoe, it just was headed toward where the buses and the trailers were waiting to pick us up. Do you see, the current of the river was flowing in this direction. You and I were born into a river flowing away from God. And if we live the distracted life, we will constantly float against the Lord, away from Him with the world. Overcoming the distracted life is like putting your paddle into the river and starting to paddle. Did you know it was hard? When I got older, I went on these canoe trips a lot. One time, you know, just to be fun, I just started paddling upstream. Did you know it disoriented everyone? Even on the church canoe trip, everyone was going that direction. And they said, Johnny, where are you going? We're all going that way. Where are you going? That was a vivid reminder to me of what's going on in our lives.